In the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful. Dear brothers and sisters, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and welcome once again to another episode of Open Talk. I'm your host, Sayyid Wahid Alawi. I want to send my salam specially to those who have become hajjis. Inshallah, I hope that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala helps us to be hajjis during our whole life, and especially those who are in Arafat today and are reciting the dua of Arafat from our dear leader Imam Hussein alayhi salam. I also want to send my condolences on the 8th of Dhul Hijjah, the martyrdom anniversary of a dear companion of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, one of the greatest actually of among the companions of the Prophet and Imam Ali alayhi salam, which passed away the 8th of Dhul Hijjah. The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam said about him that no, may Allah have mercy upon Abu Dharr, lonely will he live, lonely will he die, and lonely will he be resurrected. He also said, Abu Dharr is like Isa, Jesus, alayhi salam, of my nation, in his simpleness and in his piety. Today's topic, dear viewers, is about the Muslim identity, the youth crisis among Muslims. And we have in the studio our dear Sheikh, an Islamic expert from the Islamic seminaries of Qom, Sheikh Murtada Zadeh. And from London, we have our dear expert there, Sayyid Musharraf Husseini. And I also want to send my salams to my co-host, Ms. Sadiqian. Assalamu alaikum, Ms. Sadiqian.
Wa alaikum salam, dear brother. And I say salam to you, Dr. Reza Zadeh. In the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful, the only being that He truly is a high castle, a sure asylum, and steady and firm enclosure. I'm your host, Elohe Sadeqian, and glad to be with you on this great occasion, the day of Arafat. And on behalf of everyone here, I wish you all the best. We're going for a short break. Stay tuned, please. Welcome back. You're watching a live broadcast of Open Talk from the Holy City of Qom. Please don't forget to contact us and support and help our program. Visit our Facebook page and Twitter and raise your questions and give your comments, please. And watch our videos on YouTube, Skype us, and don't forget our phone numbers and email address. They're going to be subtitled during the program. We are with my colleague and our experts.
Thank you. First of all, my forgiveness, I mentioned the wrong name. It's Reza Zadeh, Sheikh Reza Zadeh. So my apologies. Sheikh, in the last week, we talked about identity and the Islamic identity and a little bit about youth crisis among Muslims. What important things may have a huge impact on our Muslim identity?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Thank you, brother. As you said, we had a little discussion about identity in Islam. What is identity in general, and what shapes our identity, as we call it, the Islamic identity? In the previous program, I mentioned something that is very important according to my studies, and that is the role of ethics and morality in shaping the Muslim's identity. Actually, I said that one fundamental thing in the Islamic identity is their behavior, and it should be based on morality and Islamic ethics that has been proposed by the Holy Prophet, as he said, إِنَّمَا بُعِثْتُ لِأُتَمِّمَ مَكَارِمَ الْأَخْلَاقِ. I have only been selected as a prophet in order to complement the ethical or moral values. So when he says that I have been chosen as a prophet for this mission, it means that ethical or ethics is the very important thing in shaping the Muslim's identity. In continuation of that discussion that we had, I can say the other things which are also fundamental to the Islamic identity, to the Islamic faith, and to the Islamic, to the religion of Islam. The second one is, this doesn't mean that this is less important. These are all maybe at the same level, or some of them. I'm not talking about what which one is more important or which one is less important. Just we are saying that these are all important in shaping the Muslim's identity. The second one is knowledge, or ilm, as we have it in our religion.
What kind of knowledge do you mean?
When I say knowledge, knowledge has been used in many different meanings in different contexts in Islam. But very generally speaking, we can say knowledge in all the aspects that are effective in our life has been encouraged. We have been encouraged to search for knowledge and to go after becoming knowledgeable. But it has different levels. So in some cases, even these sciences, these technological sciences can be some examples of knowledge. But it becomes more important when it is related to our religion, and especially something that has important effects on our hereafter, on our other life. So it has different levels. So it is a general name, but when we say knowledge, I usually hear, when I am talking about Islamic identity, here by knowledge I mean the knowledge that is important about our beliefs.
Yes.
What is Islam? And the questions that is in the minds of a Muslim person or the youth about their beliefs. The answer to those questions,
especially if they live in a country where they are minority,
everywhere, yes, especially there, what we call it, ilm al-kalam, or beliefs, or
theology
and these things regarding their religion. So this is very important, and it really shapes the identity of a Muslim. More they know about their religion, more they know, more they are strong they are about the necessities of their religion and the theology of their religion, better they will be in their identity. They will be much more strong when they are knowledgeable about their religion. So this is also the second important, inshallah, I will explain more about them. And the third one that I think I can pose it here is the social relations. Social relations in Islam have many, many different aspects, and they have been highly emphasized in our religion. And we have many rulings regarding social relations. It means that and it is obvious that social relations are things that really shape the personality of a person and eventually the identity of a person. So for here, up to now, I want to mention these three items that are very important.
So could you please sum it up one more time?
One is morality. Ethics, and the second one is knowledge, and the third one is social relations.
All
of these things are things that highly affect our Islamic.
But when we mention
identity,
social relations, Sheikh, it has to do with school, mm-hmm, it has to do with parents, it has to do with friends, it has to do with society.
Exactly.
Is it from an individual perspective, or should that responsibility be on a government? Mm-hmm. To shape that identity, to have a healthy school, a healthy environment.
Both of them. I think I should go, from the lower point to start to come to that conclusion. Should I go right
we
now?
Can go. I will talk a little bit with Sheikh Musharraf Husseini. He has tuned in. Sheikh Musharraf Husseini, salamun alaikum, and welcome to our studio.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah.
Sheikh, if I ask you the same thing about important things that has a huge impact on the Muslim identity, let me give you some examples. For example, radical career change, or gender identity, or nationality, or psychological imbalance of the person, isolation in the society that we see in some ghettos or areas of a city in the Western world. In England, for example, in Sweden, in Germany, we have areas where a huge immigrant population are settled, and we see a kind of isolation from the majority society, and discrimination in society that we also see both in here in the Muslim world and especially in the West. Does this have any huge impact on our Muslim identity?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah, Brother Razazadeh rightly said too many things, and that was a very Good thing that you narrated, but I would like to add one more thing.
Yes.
That after the introduction of political Islam,
yes,
the role and the boost that Islam has started taking and making its place in the global human society is very much important now. Islam, which was taken as just a bunch of rituals, a religious affair, and like prayers, like fasting and other things, now people have started adopting and are inclined towards the Islam as a way of life, to adopt it as a way of life.
As a way of life.
And that impact has increased with time, with these years, after the Islamic government in Iran. We have seen that that impact has now taken the whole world. You know, people are giving importance to Islamic viewpoints in politics, in economics, in other fields.
Yes.
And as the world, the whole world, after a boost in what we can say media and communication and travel, with, because of better possibilities of traveling in a very short time, and the communication and what we can say the computer age and the internet and Wi-Fi age, what we are seeing that the people there and communities, they are coming closer and together. Obviously, that was an obvious thing that there might should be a reaction, and there wasn't a reaction. But that reaction is also, on the other hand, coming down. I went to New York after 9/11, and there was a company, a Muslim company, Tahrik Tartil al-Quran, who print Quran, and all they said although that there was a negative impact on the Muslims and about the Muslims, but the positive thing was that the demand for Quran went many folds up, and the people were inclined to know what is Islam, and the people have started knowing Islam, and they have started learning Islam. And although the isolation, it was there, and the people didn't give importance. That's why now the people have started giving importance to Islam. So it was an obvious thing that the people, there will be some other people who are calm down, who didn't give importance to Islam. Now when they say that Islam is an important religion, and it has got a capacity to play a role as a way of life and play a role in politics and economics of the countries and the systems of governments, so now obviously there are other systems in the world, they wouldn't like that Islam should take over, and Sheikh, because of its logical and rational foundations.
I have
Islam
to interrupt
got
you
a
here
good capacity to do that.
I have to hold you here, Sheikh. Inshallah, we're going to come back after the break.
Inshallah.
Inshallah ta'ala. So please join us after the break.
We have talked about identity from an Islamic point of view in our previous program, and how Islam enables the development of universal and unique personal identities by rooting highly moral and ideal ethicals into human being. However, what factors must we look out for that have proved to have major impacts on one's identity in societies, and what effects have certain trends and political strategies had on the identity of Muslims? According to sociologists, the factors responsible for affecting or even changing an individual or group's identities are radical career change, gender identity transformation, national identity pressures, psychological imbalances, isolation and discrimination in the society. As Muslims living in Western countries or countries that have suffered at the hands of colonialism and imperialism, how has the Islamic identity suffered? How have political and socio-political agendas of these countries been able to infiltrate the psyche of vulnerable Muslim communities? Have stable, well-defined Islamic identities stood strong and unchanged against these agendas? Can the lessons of these strategies on Muslims be used as a strength in the way we prepare our future generations for life? While globalization and modernization are creating pressures to integrate and blend into a universal pattern, it can be that they can be used to interject correct Islamic ideals into a globally connected ummah and turn around the negative effects of enemy injections? What can we say of the Islamic identity in Muslim countries? Are they ahead or behind with regards to correcting the identity crisis of the ummah? Are the identity crises of Muslim countries in need of rescue from the Western Muslim communities who have been forced to analyze their Islamic identity for generations? How great is the individual's role in correcting the identity crisis of the global Muslim Ummah?
Thank you for watching, dear viewers. A controversial, I guess, comment on our Facebook page from Sister Kushbu or Kashbu Agrawal, if I'm not mistaken. She stated, religions are not the solution, Dr. Redazadeh. Religions are not the solution of this world. You should see the world beyond the religion and let the country develop. Yes, it can, the community, let the community develop. What's your answer?
Yeah, this idea is based on a presupposition that they think there is a contradiction between development and religion. So it is obvious that there is no contradiction between these two things, and it becomes more obvious when we know that. One of the things that is encouraging the countries to become more progress and to become more developed is religion itself. When we see that the religion is the greatest encouragement for knowledge, for science, and for social actions, for social, you know, activities, and for helping others, and for being at the service of others, what do we have more, you know, stronger than this to help a society be developed? The problem is not from the religion. The problem is actually not understanding the religion properly. So if we understand it properly, and if we can fulfill the, you know, our duties regarding our religious duties, all of these problems will be resolved.
Thank you, Doctor.
You're
and I want to address this part to Sheikh Musharraf Husseini. On the website, the MuslimTimes.org, on the page of the jihad industry and the Muslim identity crisis, it is said that, Sheikh, the Muslim crisis of identity is linked to their inability to redefine themselves in today's world. Most Muslim nations lack both political and economic stability. Oil-rich Arab nations have economic stability thanks to oil revenues, but are autocracies. Turkey, Malaysia, and Indonesia, however, are steadily moving towards both economic and political stability, but have not yet reached the stage where they could serve as role models for others. Do you agree with this idea mentioned, Sheikh, but please in brief?
Yes, actually, as I said previously, that after the introduction of Islam as a political religion, the political views of Islam and economic views of Islam, we have seen that Islam has started playing role in individuals and among the countries also. And with that playing of that role, we have seen that the people, they have started adopting Islam in every sphere of their life. So whatever development, what we can say in Arab countries, we can't, they are kingdoms. There's not Islamic system that the Islamic economics should be visible there, but Islamic viewpoints in economics, they are getting more visible and they are appreciated. But even in the Western countries, the economists here, they are looking towards the views of Islam, and Islam has started playing a role in that. But we are passing through a transitional period where Islam has started playing a role in the global arena. So with that, I think in presently, let the time pass a little bit. And as that awareness is increasing in different spheres, that Islam has also started playing a role in the global scene now.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Brother Wahid.
Thank you very much.
Sheikh Musharraf Husseini, if I address my question back to you. Now, you mentioned the political aspect of a Muslim identity and the impact that Islam had after the Islamic Revolution in the 80s. What more is it for you to add on that aspect?
Yeah, actually the Islamic Revolution, that was really a very big boost that a country adopted Islam as their system of governance. And people were thinking that, for example, the ulama, when they come, they were turbans with their abaqaba, when they come into, they won't be able to lead the nation. But now we have seen that globally, that country has started playing a role. And
but,
people
but
are
if you could be more specific, Sheikh,
this...
if you could be more specific,
sorry?
If you could be more specific and tell us about how does it impact globally on the Muslim identity, on the individual in the society?
Yeah, individuals, they have started expecting more from Islam. in political views, in economics, in their personal affairs, in their home affairs, and our, for example, adoption of a religion. People used to think that I'm praying, I'm fasting, I'll convince about these things. But now we are talking to other communities, to people following other religions or having no religion even. We are telling them that what is this system of Islam? Islam has been is being presented as a way of life and as a system, as a political system and political entity. And moreover, the global events and the role being played by Islam or different people following Islam in reality. Before that, we would see that the kings, for example, in the Middle East, the kings, they had no system at all. They were not familiar with Islam, but they were taken as the leaders of Islam, leading Islam. But in reality, it wasn't like that. Like the oil money or the petrol dollars that they were earning, it was not spent on the improvement and betterment of humanity as a whole. And
thank
now
you,
Islam is taking a lead in giving solution to the political problems, the family problems, the other problems with the people
you,
are facing. Islam is presenting solutions for that, and Islam have got solutions. So in that sense, even the non-Muslims, even those who don't like Islam, they are inclined to learn
yes.
what Islam is presenting.
Thank
and
you,
because
Sheikh.
Of the logical and rational grounds of what Islam presents, it's very much being welcomed. No doubt there is an impact on the communities, because people, when they don't know anything, they oppose that. They
thank
are,
you,
there Masha are oppositions
Hussein.
To that, but
thank
now
you, Sheikh.
Islam is making its way in.
Thank you, Sheikh. Sheikh Ridazadeh, about the things that you mentioned in the beginning of the program, three major and crucial impacts on a Muslim person or the Muslim identity. One, the moral and ethical values. Two, the knowledge,
knowledge
aspect, and third,
social.
The social impact.
Impacts.
What more can you say about?
Yeah, actually, I want to answer your question, you know, in another way. I want to start this way. You
all
know,
right.
What is important today to talk about and to think about? And I think
yes.
this was one of the things that you were going to talk, as you said at the beginning of the program. It is the crisis of the identity. I said
the
that
Muslim
the
youth crisis.
Yes, and I said that these are the most important things that are influential on the. On the Islamic identity. But what is it about, what can we say about the crisis in the Islamic identity?
And why do we say crisis?
Yeah, crisis because in many cases people encounter a type of confusion. What is Islam? Why do I have to follow Islam as a religion? Mm. And then after some while, they forget many of the things that used to be values among them, among the Islamic, you
know. Is this a huge problem?
It
that
is
usually
a problem.
That we call it a crisis.
It is a problem, but you know, maybe some people can say it is not a huge problem, but I think it is
all
a
right.
problem, and we should have solutions.
So it
for
is
that.
A crisis. All
but
right.
let's say, let me explain how this happens. Actually, we can say that the crisis in the identity can happen in two aspects. One is the crisis in the personal identity, and the second is the crisis in the social identity. Crisis in the, and both of them are important, and both
right.
of them should be prevented. Crisis in the personal identity happens when a person does not have proper answers to the questions that happen for him in his mind.
Right.
For example, when
before you continue, Sheikh, for a person who is raised or born and raised in a country where the vast majority are Muslims, how does those questions come into being?
Mm-hmm.
If the person has starts to have a crisis with his religion and his relationship
right.
with his religion or God. There must be an impact, there must be an influence from somewhere.
Right.
Where does it come from?
Right.
When you're born and raised in
yeah.
a country where everyone around you are
right.
Muslims.
Practically speaking, what we see in the society these days, we see that there is no difference because of the
mm-hmm.
great, you know, relations
globalization.
And globalization and modernization with, you know, and, you know, a lot of, you know, modern technological devices that we have. People are not isolated from each other.
I see.
And in addition to that, you know, being in an Islamic country is not enough not to have questions. There
right.
are what we see in the society that even for the people who are in the Muslim country, they have more questions because they are seeing, you know, they are encountering Islam as something, as an ideology which is going to be fulfilled in their countries.
Mm.
But at the same time, they see some problems, so they encounter, so they face more questions.
Now, if I would talk from my personal experience, Sheikh. All my life, I've been in Sweden, all right? Mm-hmm. And those years, we had this critical mind. People were bombarding you with questions, right. All right? But these 3 years that I have been in Iran and studying in the Islamic seminaries, this critical mind seems to have been diminished a little bit. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't have this critical mind anymore like I used to have because I'm not, you know, getting those questions, mm-hmm. all right? So maybe it's a little bit more as a minority.
I think this is a personal, no, maybe that really has effects on the life, but there are also some other elements in that. The lifestyle that you have, the people that you are in touch with, you know, mm-hmm. the environment that you have made for yourself, and more than all, the amount of, you know, time that you spend for reflection on what you have learned. Because more you learn, more questions you will have. Yes. So maybe you have made yourself very busy with just learning, and you should spend more time to reflect on what you're learning, and then you will have much more questions. So this is, but naturally speaking or practically speaking, the youth, wherever they are, they have many questions.
Yes.
Whether they are in an Islamic country or in a Western country makes no difference. This is a very natural thing that the minds of the youth are very, how can we say, are very active, and they have a lot of questions regarding their religion and regarding many other things. But for us, as we are talking about the Islamic point of view, we should say that the Islamic identity encounters a crisis for them when they don't have proper answers to their questions. So what should we do? The solution is that the Islamic experts should be very open to any question that comes to them from the youth. They should not think that a Muslim youth who is asking something is necessarily going to deny it. No, actually, they are searching to have to correct their Islamic identity. And if we don't answer those questions, the person will be weakened in their faith, and after that, eventually, they will encounter a crisis in their identity because they will see that.
Now, these are key rules for a scholar to have.
Exactly. You know, they will say that a religion that cannot answer my questions logically and cannot have proper answers for my different questions in philosophy of life, in meaning of life, and in different things that exist in the minds of youth, what is the good of this?
Yes.
What is the benefit of such a religion? And this ends to, crisis of identity eventually. Right. And we have in some hadith that al-mu'minu كالجبل الراسخ لا يحركه العواصف, means a believer, a true mu'min, a true believer is like a strong mountain, and he cannot be moved by weak winds. Yes. Why is that? This strength.
I have to interrupt you here again, okay. Sheikh. We'll continue with our discussion, inshallah, after Ms. Sadeghian. Ms. Sadeghian, over to you.
Yes, a video clip is waiting for us, brother. An under a minute short clip, and do stay with us.
My name is Maisha and I'm 7 years old.
Maybe you have a son,
daughter,
nephew, or a niece
around our age.
People keep telling me that I am the future of the Muslim Ummah.
That when you are gone, I will carry on the tradition of Islam.
But to do that, I need an Islamic education, right?
Can you imagine what life would be like
if Islamic education did not exist?
I would not know how to pray.
I would not know how to tell the difference between halal and haram.
I would not know how or when to fast.
And sadly, I would not know how to perform your janazah.
But with an Islamic education, I would know all that, and I could pass it on to others.
With an Islamic education, I could become an imam,
a mufti, and a halim.
For our dear children, Sheikh Musharraf Husseini, please answer this part. How do you think that the identification and requirements covering the four fields, of school, masjid, home, and society could affect our children? And do you think the education could play a very important role to fill the gap between our children or youths with their parents and the society?
Yes, actually, here in the West especially, we see that there is already a gap because of that boost in Islam and people turning towards Islam, people want to know Islam. And the people themselves, they were not adopting Islam as a way of life, but now they are. And on the other side, the system of Islam, Islam being adopted as a system, people thought that every Muslim is a representative of Islam, as an ambassador of Islam, and that role where people, general Muslims, were not able to play. So similarly, this deficiency has also played a role in the families, in the among the children. When they go to school, when they go play with other communities, with other followers of other religions, obviously the questions arise. And the same questions are passed on to our children. And the parents, they are there is a gap between the present day Islam and the past 20 years back. For example, we see the Islam that was just Islam was on the sidelines. After 40s, people used to get involved in Islamic rituals and, for example, say for Hajj, they used to go for Hajj and adopted Islam to some extent. But now, from day one, people are inclined towards adopting Islam, and similarly is the case with the children. So there was found a gap between the parents and the children, but because of the some of the centers or the Islamic educational institutions, the role they are playing, and especially the media, the role being played by media, that gap is being narrowed. And as the people are working on the other sphere, on the men, on the women, on the awareness about the genders, about other differences, similarly awareness about the children affairs, and the children affairs are also gaining very much importance, especially here. I've seen that in Canada, for example, in the United States, in Europe, in UK, in Australia, even the people, they are training their own children for the future times. As was we see in the Ahadith that you train your children for the future, because they have to live in the future. Train them for that. Now those questions which are being arisen, they have got better understanding of their parents and their value of their parents and the respect and honor which the religion transforms and gives to the status which is given to the parents. They are adopting, the children are, but more work is needed and more work is being done to especially educate
children for the future time.
Because future time will be far much harder than the present one.
Thank you. And the subject is still under discussion.
Thank you. Sheikh Musharraf Husseini, if I address my next question to you, what can you say about globalization and the impact it has on the Muslim youth?
Yes, of course, the Muslim youth has also been affected by globalization of Islam, because Islam, there are some positive points and there are some negative points. Every people, every system is trying to make its place in the future. Like we see the political crisis, different countries enter and they want to grab the political control over that country. We have seen that in Lebanon, in Iraq, in Afghanistan, everywhere we see that. Similar is with the Islam. Islam, when Islam is coming up, so different people, different communities, different players, different international players want to control and grab it. So this thing, the youth in the beginning, when it started, the political system of Islam, yes, there was a division and there was a bit sort of like some people, they got confused. But now that confusion has created an environment of learning, an environment of knowing the a viewpoint of others and discussions.
What can you say about the negative aspects of globalization, if I ask you like that?
Negative aspects, for example, we can see that, for example, sectarianism, we can see one of the impacts that has come up, and that is being played, orchestrated by different powers in different countries and followers of different political systems. I won't say that this is because of different schools of thought of Islam. It's because of different political systems and entities. They want to grab control over that. That was one of the negative impacts. The other negative impact was that the people were not prepared to adopt Islam as a system of life. And all of a sudden, with the change, with the revolution, for example, there was a boost. It was like a tsunami that took over the people, and what the level of...
You're referring to the Islamic Revolution of Iran?
Yeah, of course. Mm-hmm. Islamic Revolution of Iran gave a boost to Islam. And expectations of the people, they went much higher than the level of education and the level of adoption of Islam that was in the people. People were not ready to see the general public. But although this boost in itself created a situation, now people are settling down and they are learning about it. They want to learn more about it. They want to adopt
it as a way of life.
I've seen most of the people, when they get married, they straight away want to go for Hajj. That was not the situation about before the revolution or something like that.
Thank you very much, Sheikh. Sheikh Redazadeh, the things we discussed now before we went over to Ms. Sadiqia, the most crucial key rules of a scholar in encounter with the youth.
Yes.
If you could
elaborate. Yeah, exactly. I said that if those questions are not answered properly with a strong answer that can satisfy the youth, they will encounter some confusions, and this can lead to some weakness in their faith, and eventually they will encounter what we call it crisis in the Islamic identity, because they will not have any dependency to their Islam.
What about the social relationship?
But before that, I want to complete that hadith that I was saying that al-mu'minu kal-jabal al-rasikh la yuharrikuhu al-awasif. It means that a mu'min, a true believer, is more strong than the mountains. So where does this strength come from? According to that hadith and many other hadiths, that we have this strength in the, you know, in the identity of a Muslim comes from the deep knowledge that they have about their religion. So what I want to emphasize is that if we want to have people who have a very strong Islamic identity, we should train them, we should educate them to know the realities and to know the best level of the knowledge about their religion.
Now, when you say we, when you use the word we, do you mean the scholars? Do you mean
scholars,
the government?
The society, the government, the family, anyone who can do something.
Anyone
in this
who
regard.
Has a
the teachers, the professors, universities, and the system that is consisted of all of these things. The system should be in a way that the Muslim youth is trained in a proper way that has proper answers to their questions. But at the first hand, it comes to the scholars and to the experts in religion. They should be open to answer the questions of the youth. And the second one, I said that the second aspect of the crisis in the identity is the social crisis. And when this social crisis in the social identity happens, when a person sees that he or she cannot play their proper role in the society, this is the definition of social, you know, crisis in the social identity. When does this happen? When people see that they don't have enough abilities or qualities to play their role. And it has many different reasons for that. But here, if I want to say who are those people who can help a person to avoid this situation, first of all, I should point to the family. You know, when we are talking about the crisis in the social identity, the most important factor that is here that can help people to avoid it is the family. You know, when
the heart of the society.
Exactly. When a Muslim youth goes into society and sees that he is not supported regarding religious issues by the society or by some of the friends that he is in touch, but still he sees that his family is supporting him, and he has a great support, like a family who are always encouraging him and actually providing for him whatever he needs to be a Muslim youth, he will be much more strong in his identity. And this is the first thing. The second thing, and this is also related to the social aspect that we said, is the friends that we are in touch with. Mm-hmm. People who are in touch with the people who are not in a good level of, you know, let's say faith. After some while, because of the natural interactions that we have, and we will be affected by our friends, after some while we will become more similar
to
them.
It could be the opposite though.
Exactly, but in most cases. Because we are more, you know, naturally.
If you have the self-esteem, if you're strong in your faith, you could have the
exactly,
opposite
effect.
It
needs a lot of work to achieve to a level that when you are in touch with the person, you will be the one who
affects him.
Who affects him. But in normal cases, we are, because we love our friends, we try to become more similar to them. It is important to have friends who help you to have a stronger Islamic identity, not friends who want to make you, you know, far from them. But after that, I want to point to something very important that I think it is something I think nice. You know, preserving Islamic symbols. What do I mean by Islamic symbols? I mean that, you know, when you look at the, when you study a religion and when you have
Can I hold you here, Sheikh? Can I hold you here? We're going to go over to Ms. Sadiq Yon. I think she have prepared a Skype interview.
Of course, one of our dear viewers is joining us through Skype. Let's welcome and say salam. May I have your name, please?
Walaikum salam wa rahmatullah. My name is Alpha Jallo from Liberia.
Thank you, brother, for calling. And the question is here. Do you, which one of the following impacts do you consider more important than others on our Islamic identity? National and social impact, isolation in society, and discrimination, or any other impact you think is very influential?
To my own opinion and idea, I think the most impact here is ignorance of Islamic principles, that is the reality of Islam, and also relating it to national and social impact, because we most Muslims today, we tend to isolate ourselves from politics. And because of the lack of knowledge of the reality of Islam, some of our educated men tend to preach to us that we should avoid or we should divide ourselves from politics, which is not the reality of Islam. Because if you look at the life story of our prophet, he actually spread this religion based on politics and our philosophy. So we cannot actually isolate ourselves from politics and social interaction with our others. I think these are the most important impact for the isolation of we Muslims and other problems that we face throughout the world today. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi.
I appreciate your participation and thank you for making your voice heard. Go back to my colleague, please.
Thank you very much, Ms. Sadiqian. All right, Sheikh, if you would please continue.
Okay. Actually, I was saying that one thing which is very important is to preserve the Islamic icons or Islamic symbols, yes. And I will explain what are they. I should say that a lot of obligations and recommendations that we have in Islam, they are in addition to the, you know, the influences that they have on the spirituality, or they are obligatory and these things. In addition to that, they work as a symbol, and these symbols, you know, actually gather people around themselves. So they have a symbolic function,
right.
and they are important. For example, let's say, what are they? Islam, when came, it actually made some rulings for the men's appearance. And then they had some rulings for the women's appearance. And then, very good example, you know, we have a very personal relation with God that is defined in the shape of salat or ritual prayer. But when we come and study Islam, we see that Islam has a great, has put a great emphasis on making this personal relation with God in the congregational form. What does this mean? You know, actually making this very personal relation with God into something social in order to give the Muslims a social identity. When people gather around to have a, you know, congregational prayer, they will gain some kind of identity. They will become in touch with some other Muslims, and this gives
the
them a lot of...
The community will be stronger.
Exactly. The community and what is called, in general, the Muslim community, that we call it Ummah. And then we have mosques. Islam had a lot of emphasis to attend in mosque for everything that for our social activities, we are encouraged to go and participate in mosque. So a link between the spirituality and congregation and social activities, all of them happen, and people gather around, and then they will become like a united ummah, that we, a united community that we call it ummah. And then, another example is the congregational prayers. You know, when you see, especially in our beautiful school of Ahlul Bayt, we see a lot of prayers, a lot of, you know, dua gatherings which are held yes. congregationally. The best example today is Dua Arafah. You know that people gather around and have a social, you know, gathering. In that social gathering, they have some type of a spirituality, and so they make a community. These communities yes. work as symbols and icons for giving the Muslims an
Even
Islamic identity. Or the best example is Hajj. Yes. These kinds of icons give the Muslims an Islamic identity. One thing that can weaken our identity is that these icons and these symbols are weakened. If we want to strengthen our identity, we should make these gatherings, these congregations, and these symbols more and more popular among people. And we should pay attention to, these social aspects of our religion, because these social aspects are highly effective on shaping our true Islamic identity.
So the emphasis is mostly on the congregation, even if it is about du'as or the
exactly.
prayers or
exactly.
the Hajj.
And isolation is not approved in Islam. We should
even if the person feels a special spirituality or feels closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in his individual prayer,
right,
still it is emphasized for him,
right,
and to go to
this
the congregation.
This is a good question. This has been asked from the scholars when they say, according to what we understand from the Islamic traditions, from the Prophet and from Ahlul Bayt alayhimus salam, we come to know that if it is about night prayer, for example,
yes,
do it at your home in your prayer. But when it comes to obligatory ritual prayers, that five, you know, daily prayers that a Muslim should do, even if you think that you feel better when you're alone, you should come to the mosque and do it in the mosque and try to have that spirituality when you are in the in the group.
Thank you very much, Sheikh.
You're welcome.
The last minutes here in open talk, I would like to mention a hadith from the Prophet to the great companion Abu Dharr al-Ghifari rahmatullah alayh. Which he said, know five valuable things before five other things in your life, Abu Dharr. One, your youth before your old age. Two, your health before your sickness. And three, your wealth before your poverty. And fourth, your free time before your preoccupation. And fifth, your life before your death. That was all for today. Dear viewers, please join us in the coming programs. I want to thank Sheikh Reda Zadeh for coming to our studio.
You're
thank
very
you very
welcome,
much.
Brother.
Hopefully we will have you more in the coming programs.
Thank you.
And thank you, Sheikh Musharraf Husseini. And thank you, Ms. Sadiqian, for the technical support.
Thank you, brother. I appreciate your support and our expert's presence. Dear viewers, don't forget to watch our tomorrow's program on Eid al-Adha. We're waiting for you here. Allah help you and be with you at every step you take. Take care.
That was all for today. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.